This is Outside the Round with Matt Barile, a Rage Rowdy podcast.
Eddie Eberle,
What's up, boy?
Eddie and the Getaway.
What's good?
Bro, congrats on a great release today.
Thank you, man.
On My Breath, out now.
Yes, you've just
been hammering the fucking singles, haven't you?
We've been trying every like 4 or 5 weeks, just ripping them.
It's so cool that like now is the day and age where you can do that. Used to have to be where people would have to wait to put out a full album and then tease the one single off the album, and then you'd be sitting there waiting for more music to come out. But now you can just give the people what they want, which is more, and your style of music is like all over the place too, which is what I love. Like,
thank you, brother.
Seeing you out there opening for country acts, but opening for some of our favorite like Texas like rock acts.
Hell yeah, man.
Fucking Gio and the Boys.
Yeah, fucking dude.
Pecos. How has life been the last year?
Dude, it's been crazy, man. I was working at this time last year, I was working at a Mexican restaurant.
Oh, no serving. Shit.
Yeah, dude. I'd never written with a signed writer, never like, you know, I'd always been listening with the, like, to like the Pecos and the Rooftops and Giovanni and the Hired Guns and all those guys. But it's crazy, like, what 1 year of just like grinding the socials, trying to put out as much music and just writing. And it's Nashville for you, dude. It's fucking wild.
How long have you been here in town?
I moved here the week COVID hit. So I'm 23 now. So I moved when I was 19. Had my fake ID stolen at Red Door, you know, like they took it away. And I was like, well, this sucks, dude. I didn't know a person, dude. And there was a time, like, right when I moved here, I moved and then I didn't see another human being because everything was shut down. I couldn't go out because I didn't have an ID for like 6 weeks. So I ended up just going to Chick-fil-A like 6 weeks later because I hadn't seen another human being, flirting with the girl who's bringing the food out. And I was like, yeah, and she's like, all right, are you good to go now? Like, she, like, was so just not having it at all, so it was brutal.
And you're from out west, right?
Yeah, Arizona.
Arizona.
Yes, sir.
And it's cool. Like, Nashville is such, like, a party culture. People sleep on Arizona. You guys have one of the best college environments that exists.
Yep.
That's out in Tempe and out in Tucson.
Yeah.
Fucking Scottsdale.
Crazy.
Like, I'm good buddies with Skis. And he talks about, like, bro, Nashville's cool, but Scottsdale's like another level.
It is.
And when I first moved to town, I was one of those guys that would have taken your ID back during COVID when you first moved. I was a door guy at Whiskey Row.
Oh, no way. My first year in town.
Yeah, when I first moved down from New York. And that company, that Riot Hospitality Group that runs Whiskey Row, they're based out of Arizona. They do Riot House. They run the Whiskey Rows that are out in, like, Gilbert and in different sections of Arizona. What was did you feel culture shock coming from out there to here?
Yeah, dude, I mean, I think the people, I mean, people in Arizona are super nice too, but it was like coming out to Nashville, like, where like it has the more southern type thing, which I lived in between Scottsdale and this area called Cave Creek, so it was like 15 minutes from where I was, you could go to a bar called Buffalo Chip and you can go bull riding for $50.
Oh, wow.
Like, literal bulls. Like, and then 15 minutes in the other direction was like fake boobs and face chops. So I got both ends of the spectrum. So I feel like I'd like when I went to high school, it was like buddies who were driving like lifted, like, you know, pickup trucks with like flags on the back. And then other buddies were like, you know, wearing like collared shirts and like popping the collar. It was weird.
That's such an interesting like mixing of two things.
Yeah,
like,
dude.
The ultimate like prep, like frat culture and then just fucking rednecks.
Yeah, dude.
Like, that's not something I would expect to hear.
No, it was weird.
In Arizona. Did you ever hop on the bowl for $50?
Dude, I never quite got there. Never quite got there. But I almost, I've like almost done it. And then I always have like one of my buddies, Thompson, who's like one of my best friends back home. He's always like, dude, you can't do that. Like, no matter how drunk we are, it's like, dude, you're going to die. You're going to be the dude who dies. And I was like, yeah, you're probably
right.
I'm
sure you see you see people get fucked up on those things.
Oh, yeah.
I feel like you have to get fucked up to go on there.
Oh,
then you're like physically fucked up from the bowl. Just, do they put like a helmet on you or something? Or is
I think so. Yeah, you get like a vest and a helmet and stuff. It's like open ride or something. I don't know if they still do it, but I knew they like did it when I used to go.
That's some ballsy shit.
It's crazy.
Just to hop on a real fucking bowl.
They do bull runs too. Like where you go and get chased or whatever. Like, I've heard, like, I don't know if it's true or not, but that's what I've heard.
It's like open mic, but for fucking cowboy rodeo shit. It's like the wildest open mic you'll ever see. Open ride.
Open ride,
bro. It just sounds fucked.
Yes.
I don't know if I could do that.
Dude, I don't know either. But hey, we're going to go out there one time. We're going to do it.
We are going to do it.
And we're not going to bring my buddy Thompson, so nobody can tell us.
Nobody can talk us
out. No good influences out there.
The voice of reason is not coming
with us.
So tour life, what's that been like? Because you, I don't even really know like your musical background. I know you've, like a lot of guys, like our boy David J that we just had on here recently, who spoke very highly of you.
Hell yeah.
He's lying. The bunk bed era and yeah, like you boys just two bros just figuring out the Nashville thing together. But like when did music kind of get a start for you? Because like your style is very unique in that when I hear a song, I'm like, that's an Eddie song.
Hell yeah, man.
Like you have your own sound and you found the co-writers to help with that. But like for you, when did music kind of become a thing? Because a lot of folks know you from the internet, man. You're part of this generation of using social media as a tool and being able to do it your own fucking way because of this thing, right?
Yeah, dude. So true.
When did the idea of Eddie Eberle, the fucking long-haired rock star up there going around doing the damn thing, come to be?
Dude, so I mean, it kind of started. I guess I was probably like, I started playing drums when I was 5.
Oh, and then I started, you're a drummer. I could see that. I could just see you on a fucking kit, just fucking rocking, like Animal from the fucking Muppets.
Dude,
that's why
I started playing was that show.
Like, really?
Yeah, dude, the Muppets, yeah. So I started playing drums and then started playing guitar when I was like 8 or 9 after watching like a U2 thing that was on like Palladia or whatever this channel. And so I started playing guitar and then started my first band when I was in 8th grade and had buddies of mine that were over at the School of Rock, which was like this after school program thing.
We had one of those up in the Northeast.
Oh, you did?
I never went, but I remember hearing about it.
Yeah.
Like it was very big and like you guys would put on like a showcase at the end of it, right?
Yeah, it was like, so you'd have like a 4 months of like, it'd be two different things. It'd be like Led Zeppelin and The Doors. So you'd have like two different competing things.
Yeah.
And you'd go and you'd either sing or play guitar or whatever it was. So we did that. Started a band and then started just really like hitting like the Arizona Southwest thing pretty hard. Bands like the Black Moods, the Roger Kind of the Peacemakers, the Jim Blossoms, like they were all like big influences, just that like Tempe scene in the 90s and like 2000s and stuff. And they really helped me out a ton with like getting me on the road. And like Josh Kennedy and, you know, Chico and Jordan and all those guys from the Black Moods, they were really like such a pivotal thing and like introduced me to my first producer, Johnny K, and like all this stuff. So we started touring, and then we heard about this thing down in Mexico called Circus Mexicus, which was in Rocky Point.
That just sounds epic.
It was sick, dude.
That just sounds cool. Circus Mexicus.
Yeah, dude. So we would, like, the first time we did it, we were 15, and we, like you weren't really allowed to go over the border. So we were like, dude, we got to find somebody who's old enough. So we had this one dude named Mark who was, he was, like, this legend, and he was, like, dude, we're going down to Mexico. We're going to play some shows. Like, you guys are going to play some shows. I was like, all right, sick. We're going to go. So we're cruising down in a van, get down past the border, and we like, our set was at this place called Boo Bar that was right on the beach. And the dude, Jose, who was the owner, greeted us with like fucking like a bottle of tequila. And
he has,
I was like,
no,
this
idea
is sick, dude. Let's fucking go. So we go, and like, I'd never really been that drunk before. I'd had like, you know, I mean, no, I was not underage drinking. Damn, why am I saying this shit? But anyways, you know, I was down there and we like, he'd given us like shots. So I was like, this is incredible. So I ended up getting like hammered, like to the point of, like almost falling off the damn stage. We had a 3.5 hour set, but we got through that shit. And that was my first thing of like, dude, this shit's sick. You know, like I want to like do this for real. You know? So we toured a lot, ended up having some like record deal stuff from Universal, had some stuff that just didn't quite work out, which I'm grateful for now being fully independent, like owning everything and like being able to do the stuff that you're talking
about. There's a lot of power in that
to where
it's like you and your team, which we're looking over at your team right there.
Yeah. Young Greg
right there. the business guy, you know,
you got
to have your guy with you. But like being able to drop music like you do, having that control is so important.
Nice.
So when did the idea of, because your stuff is like in the country realm, but very in the rock realm. It could get remixed and played in fucking clubs. It could be all over the place. Like it's universal, which I think is really freaking cool. Why Nashville?
Dude, I just felt like the thing that always intrigued me was the songwriting, like how focused it is about like the storytelling. And I think the biggest thing for me is like music has always been something that has gotten me through the hardest shit in my life. Like, I don't know if I'd be here if it wasn't for some songs that I'd related to so hard.
What's a big song for you growing up?
So I got this one, Where the Streets Have No Name, And that's why I got like little signs with No Street. It's a U2 song.
Yeah, oh yeah.
And then also this one, Tom Petty, he's one of my favorites. Runaway, Let Your Heart Be Your Guy, which is Wildflowers.
Yeah.
And then like Iris by the Goo Goo Dolls. Some of those songs that are just iconic and seem to like transcend like time almost, where it's like if you are 15 years old or you're freaking 80, like you relate to it on the same level, where it just hits like, it's like God coming through, you know, God coming through a song, like a higher message of what life should be and the whole point of it. You know, like that's how I've always approached it. And when I moved to Nashville, I knew like I want to get just as good as hell at songwriting as possible, because that's just what you do here. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I met guys like, you know, Bo Bailey and Cole Miracle and like some of these dudes who, you know, Graham Barm, like buddies of mine that we all kind of came up at the same time.
Yeah. I always say that Nashville, like in terms of moving here, you kind of have your class. It's like you're in school, and it pairs guys and girls that get here around the same time. And of course, you'll become homies with OGs. You'll become homies with new kids after you've been here for a while. Like how you and I are friends. We got here in a little bit of a different era. I was a little before COVID. You were like smack dab in right at the start of it. You know? So it's like your class of the guys, particularly like the bros that have moved here in that segment of time or have been coming up together, is one of my favorite classes to watch, honestly. Oh, yeah. And it's like all you guys are just a vibe. You guys are all kind of your own characters within this squad, which is what I love. Like fucking like Graham and like, as Graham calls Bo, Spanky.
Yeah.
And like fucking you and fucking David J. And like there's just like this group of kids that's just figuring it out. And you guys are, as a collective group, are so fucking talented and all doing it your own way. Like it doesn't all sound the same.
Yeah. No, it's fun. It's so fun. Like we I think like at the start of it was like I've always dreamed of like having it where it's like you have like the show Entourage, which is like all the homies, not like just having one Vinny Chase as like the star, but having it where it's like a squad of like you know, Greg or like Duke management or, you know, my band, the guys in there, or songwriters or other artists, like just being it where it's such a positive like group of people that just like care about each other and want to see everyone win.
Yeah.
You know, it's so different than other situations I've been in that are like very like when there's not a lot of like pie to eat, you know, everyone's fighting over the crumbs instead of it being like, hey, there's like everyone can win at this shit.
Yeah. And yeah. High tides.
Figuring out how to do it.
Yeah. High tides raise all ships.
Absolutely.
Honestly.
Dude.
And that's something that I see in like the world that I'm in with the events bait, with like us, with all the fucking events we do.
Hell yeah.
It's like, we want to see the whole scene win. Like some of my favorite nights were when like during COVID and even like before COVID, when we started our round at Live Oak, when there'd be some, when Revival would be going on down at Tin Roof, or there'd be something at Doghouse, and the whole street as a collective unit was busy.
Yeah,
because I knew there'd be enough foot, there's enough foot traffic for everybody. Just like there's enough ears and eyes for everybody to watch your shit and listen to your shit.
So true.
That's the way that's the way to fucking do it. So what was your first night of like, oh fuck, Nashville's a different animal?
Dude, coming to your guys' round. You guys were the first round I'd ever seen. Like, the Race Rowdy round that you guys put on.
Yeah, was it a Sunday or a Tuesday? Probably was a Sunday.
It was a Sunday.
Sunday,
yeah.
Okay, so Rowdy on the road.
Yeah, dude, so when I saw you guys, like, the first time, I remember talking to Nikki for the first time, and I think I was with Bo, and Bo and I had nothing, absolutely nothing going on. Like, I mean, like, we've, like, probably 1,000 streams of any type of song we'd ever written or had put out or whatever. And I remember seeing it, and we're like, dude, we're going to play that shit one day. We're going to play Raise Rowdy. Like, let's fucking go, dude. So I fucking got one of your guys' hats and, like, started rocking it. Like, it was like a identity thing. And, like, I think, like, you know, I think I can speak on behalf of, like, a lot of the group is that, like, this generation, like, our class is, like, the Raise Rowdy class. Dude, like, you guys have literally branded, seriously.
That means a lot to
us. No, seriously, dude. Like, and, you know, Chase Matthew was the first one that, like, he was playing after you guys had finished a round. Dil Marlo was on that stuff, and he'd pulled me up.
Yeah.
And I played, like, a couple songs. And then that's when I met you, I think.
Yeah.
And then, and Nikki that night, too. So it was, like, really cool to kind of see that. But I just remember before that even coming to the rounds and being just, like, the talent that's here and, like, making it where, because I'm a very competitive person when it comes to, like, not to other people, but, like, internally. You know, where it's, like, I want, like, when I get a song that, like, Bo Bailey sends to me that, like, he's like, yeah, dude, this person's cutting it, or this person's like put it on hold, I'm like, fuck, dude, I'm gonna go work. Or when I see a show, like, I see a great show, it's like, dude, I want to get better because like I want to just I want it to be like this. You know what I mean? Like same with the Pecos dudes. I see them play or Gio, like their stage presence. Like we're going on tour with them in April. We got 19 shows in April. Like we're gonna be
let's go,
dead, dude. I'm excited.
That's a big deal.
Yeah, it's fun, dude.
Is that gonna be like the long? What's like the longest you've been out with someone? Have you just been doing a lot of Weekend Warrior stuff? A
lot of Weekend Warrior stuff. Okay. But this one's like starting the beginning of April. It's like four. It's like Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, drive home, go back Monday, sleep for the whole day, get back up, drive 10 hours to Kansas, and then do Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, drive back. It's like crazy. Yeah. Texas, like all the stuff, which is, that's what I love. You know what I mean? Like being in, I sold my car when I was 18 and bought a 12 passenger white van.
Fuck
like,
yeah. You are built for this.
Yeah, dude.
Shit.
I like this. You're is what I that? Love to do it, bro. Yeah. Yeah. You know, first dates are really freaking hard in the van. I'll tell you that much, dude. I remember going on dates and being like, you know, oh, what car are you in? Like picking them up from their house or wherever apartment and being like, my van. And they're like, what the fuck am I doing? And it tells a lot about a girl though. If they're down for it, it's like, oh, this girl's a homie. But also if they're down about it, it's like, do you not have street smarts? You're getting in a van, a white van.
Does the
but
van
hopefully
have,
not too creepy.
The van has windows in it, though.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah. That's windows.
To me, it's the vans without the fucking windows that are the ones that. Those are the ones you don't take the candy. Those are the ones you don't fucking
treat
or treat to. Yeah, because I spent a lot of time out in the van when I was out with Trey, with Trey Lewis and with Musk and I.
Yeah, those are the boys.
And I got to go out and do a little bit of the bus thing, a little bit of like the bandwagon thing. But there's something about being in a van with your boys and just. Driving through the night.
Yep.
If you got a trailer, great. If not, having the gear and that, pulling out the seats, putting the gear in there. Learning how to sleep on a fucking bench seat or with your head against the window, using your fucking hoodie as a fucking pillow. Like, I've been through all that shit. Dude. Rolling up on a Love's and it being the best fucking McDonald's or Hardee's
best,
that you've ever had.
You've been to Sheetz?
Oh, bro, yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Is that your choice?
Dude, that's my choice, bro. I look forward to, like, the Northeast runs because of that. Like, it's my drummer, Jack Silverman, put me onto it. He's like, dude. This fucking place is gonna be sick.
The 24-hour touchscreen thing,
dude, it's incredible.
Is great. The tots are great. The
chicken
the
wraps,
fucking hot dogs,
cheese curds.
I'm the greasy dude.
You're a bold man to be on the road. Like you're not gonna be able to go to the bathroom for the next 6 hours.
Well, see, I was the tour manager, so I kind of controlled when we would stop. So I had that little bit of destiny. Bucky's is cool, but I've gotten worn out of Bucky's.
Yeah,
to be honest with you.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Like, I've gotten worn out.
It's more than anything, it's the traffic when you pull up. And you can't, you're like, you'll pull up, go in, it'll take 20 minutes to get in the line, and then it'll take 30 minutes to get out of the parking lot.
It adds a fuck ton to the drive. And if you're trying to get home after, like, a long weekend, you're like, do I really want to spend 30 minutes here?
No, yeah.
It's like, I'd just rather, like, our guys would prefer going to Love's over Bucky's.
Oh, yeah.
It got
to
a certain point.
Yeah.
Like, and you find a good Love's.
It rips, dude.
A good Love's rips. Pilot and Flying J get a little dicey.
A little dicey.
I've had the pizza.
Yeah.
It's not.
It's a bold move. It's a bold. You don't know how long it's been in that thing.
No, you really don't. Yeah. And then you see all kinds of people, too, in the truck stop side of it.
It's the best, dude. I love it.
I love the people watching.
Yes.
That's one of my favorite parts of the road is the people watching and then the characters that you meet at the venues, too. Like the roadies, like the local, like production people, bro.
Yeah, it's badass, dude.
What have been some of your favorite rooms that you've gotten to go into? Because you're out with Pecos and Gio. You're playing a combination of theaters to club, probably a lot of clubs, right?
It's a lot dance of it's halls. It's a lot of it's halls. They're like 1,500 to 2,500 cap kind of is what they're doing, which is super sick. And, dude, I'm just so grateful for those guys to, like, be down. They're also just, I've been writing with them a lot. Like with Pecos and Gio going up to their, you know, this couple months ago, went out to their houses in Texas and spent like a week out there with them, stayed at their house. They were so like the hospitality, they're just the homies.
You're their Nashville little brother.
Yeah.
Like you're the little bro.
Dude, especially to Pecos, bro. Like, I mean, he's a good 7 inches taller than my ass. So I'm definitely the little one.
And he's got the hair and the hat.
Yeah,
thing,
dude.
Too.
Yeah, it's
so
funny.
You do look like little bro. I love that, man. Yeah. First time I met Pecos was we did, I don't know if you remember this, because this would have been right after you, it would have been like a year after you moved. We did a thing, we did a 420 takeover at Live Oak. We called it, with Whale Tail Media, it was the Hightail Takeover.
Hell,
and Whales works with a lot of the guys out of Texas, like Pecos and Dylan Wheeler and Colby and all those dudes. So Wales had helped put together the lineup, and it was Pacus, Colby, Cooper, and Dylan Wheeler on the final round. Damn. We had Corey Kent on there, like Ben Chapman, Tyler Halverson, a whole like smorgasbord of people, primarily in the 420 department, which is where at that time Pacus and Colby and Dylan were really thriving and living.
Yep.
And the night before, we went to Whiskey Jam over at Winners, and I ended up out with Pacus and all of them, and we ended up going to Taco Bell.
Hell yeah.
It was me and Pacus and somebody else, and I had them squeezed, and I was driving a Chevy Equinox at the time, even worse than a van.
I don't know if it's worse. I don't think nothing's worse than a van, bro.
But we pulled up, and we ended up ordering like $70 in Taco Bell.
Oh, yeah.
Those boys just went after it and then went to their Airbnb and hung out with them, and they're just – it's a different level of like the energy that you get from those guys. Gio, I've gotten to meet some of the dudes in the band. Yeah. Haven't gotten to hang out with Gio personally like a ton, but the vibe that those guys have is so different from what you'll find here in town.
It's so true.
Like you're getting to learn so much shit.
Yeah. No, it's awesome, dude. I mean, I've been fans of, you know, Dylan Wheeler, Colby Cooper, Pacus, like Gio, like all those guys way before like I even moved here. Like I was listening to like Co Wetzel, same shit. Like I used to sell out in my hometown this bar called what's it freaking called? Oh man, this bad. Rock Bar. Jeez.
Rock Bar.
Yeah, it's called Rock Bar. And Alex, the owner, is the homie. And he had told me after we played, it's like 130 cap place. Yeah. 150. It's pretty small. But we used to sell it out, and he was like, dude, there's this dude called Co Wetzel. You gotta, you know, like, that's a cool name. You know, I want to check him out. He's like, you got to check out his music. He's coming here next week. You should go to the show. And that week, they dropped Noise Complaint, the album. So
Changed everything.
Dude, everything. We pull up, and the place was slam-packed, and people lined up outside that didn't get to watch. They opened up the doors, so like the back door, so people could hear it, like outside the venue. Wow. It was crazy.
Yeah.
So started getting into them, and then like This Damn Song came out a year later, and that was like the first song, like, for like my high school breakup was like, I just jammed that shit. And then I ended up, you know, the first time I wrote with Pacus a couple months ago, I didn't want to go in there and be like, dude, I fucking love your music. I'm a fan.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
You can't be fangirl. You gotta play it cool.
Played it cool, dude. You know, so we wrote a song. He really liked it and was like, dude, if you ever want to come out on the road with us, dude, like, let's fucking do it. I was like, yeah, I'd love to. And so I told him about it. He's like, man, that's cool as shit, dude. And their story and just, I mean, do you know the story about how they became the band name?
I know it was they were on a rooftop.
Yeah,
right?
They used to just hang out as the dudes who were like became in the band. They used to just hang out in Lubbock and like go and like smoke and drink on the roof. And they're like, what do we call ourselves? And they're like, how about Pacus in the Rooftops? And they like laughed. And then it like they had to put out the song the next week. So they just did, dude. I just like love that shit. You know what I mean?
Like no real like planning or overthinking it, just in the moment, like him and his boys being in a band.
Yeah, dude, it's so cool.
And Lubbock is a wild time, too.
I've never been up there, but I have a lot of people that hit me up on Instagram and TikTok about playing the Blue Light up there.
Yes.
We're going to do that soon.
That'll be an epic show for you, dude. I like the Texas scene a lot.
Me
like,
too, man.
And I like one of my favorite venues, I've talked about it on here a bunch, is the Tumbleweed in Stillwater, Oklahoma. I've
heard about that place. You've never been.
That's one where you'll have a really good time out there. The Silver Saloon in Terrell, Texas is a wild one. Like, there's all these, like, dance halls, and it was weird going out there at first because I'm originally from New York, so it's very different Northeast. Like, you've been on a bunch of Northeast states, different vibe up there,
totally.
You know? And then in the Southeast, different kind of vibe. Like, the colleges in the Southeast are different from like college towns everywhere, a little bit different, have their character.
Totally.
In Texas, it's like you don't see it as much with at a Gio show or at a Pacus show or at a Co show because that's a rock show.
Yep.
But you go in there as like a Nashville country act. People are like, you'll have the stage and then you'll have like the dance floor and then like the area outside the dance floor, and they won't let drinks on the dance floor because the dance floor is for dancing.
Yep.
So you have like all these people on the side and then nobody right in front of the stage, and they'll just pop out and fucking two-step and twirl around. That's like,
it is crazy.
Yeah, it's like you're used to being at a show and people being up on the fucking bike rack.
Yeah.
And like,
I haven't had that experience yet in Texas. I don't know if we've played those places.
I don't think you will, because you're with, I think, when you're with, like, there's a reason, like...
Yeah, it's just slam.
Pacus
yeah.
and those guys don't play those style rooms because it's like the crowd is a rock crowd.
Yeah. Dude, they go crazy. And the coolest part, too, like, I remember the first time we ever played out with Gio, like, last year, we, like, pull up, and I was like, this is the craziest, like, crowd I've ever seen. It's like, they got everyone from, like, these like very like formal, like traditional, like cowboy Texas dudes with like their wife and like, you know, press shirts and all the stuff, button downs, who are like 55, 60 years old. And then you got like people like you and me that are like, you know, anywhere between 20 and 35 that are just like ready to rip. And then you got like families, and it's just, it's crazy how much the relatability of like that kind of music. And that's what I strive for in my music, is to be like, no matter what you're going through, no matter what kind of like day you've had, who you are, what you do, like to relate, because at the end of the day, like humans are all the same.
Yeah.
Like all it is we are, we're all trying to be successful, like be happy, you know, and life sucks a lot.
Yes.
So writing songs that,
yes,
you know, for me, it's always like, all right, how do I not be depressed? You know, I'm gonna write some sad shit and get it out so
you,
I can.
You do hit the feels a lot. Like you're, and I think that's part, that's, how old are you? You're
23.
I feel like that's like you came up to being an adult during COVID.
Yeah.
It's one of the saddest times and weirdest
dark for
times
me.
In human history. I think that's part of the reason that a lot of guys and girls around your age group are writing the sad shit, and you have at a high level and in the pop world and like the crossover world with kids like Jesse Murph and kids like yourself and referencing David J. Like people are singing about the sad shit.
Yeah.
And you even see it with like, with guys like Pacus and like the Texas thing.
Yeah.
It's singing about, man, I'm so down right now. I'm going to get fucked up and I'm going to write a song about it.
Yeah.
And you do that as well as anyone.
Thank you.
And I feel like you said, like where the streets have no name, and like the U2 and the petty stuff, where that stuff that you relate to, you're going to have kids that are all over the world that are scrolling on TikTok and seeing you out on the street putting headphones on somebody and being like, and then jamming to your songs and saying that one of your songs is that song for them because it's getting them through a hard time.
It's been crazy. Like, especially I put out this song with a buddy of mine, Jay Webb, who I write and produce with, and for his stuff too. And we put out a song called Cobain, and it was like this thing of like, that second verse, I was super freaked out to like put out. And Greg, my manager, was really the one who pushed me to do it. And he was like, dude, you need to write about real shit. Cause I've been to that point where it's like, I don't know if there's any way out. And it's fucking, it's a heavy topic, but it's also like, dude, I'm so grateful that I didn't make some stupid decision to like affect people around me or myself or any shit like that. So that verse for me was literally writing down what I'd written down.
Yeah.
And like, I was freaked out to do that, but I just like stayed up one night really late at like 4 a.m. and just wrote it all down. Send it to Jay, and he's like, dude, that shit is awesome. I was like, you think so? I have no idea if this is ass or not.
Yeah.
And so put it out, and that first video got between TikTok and Instagram like 25 million views, just one video. And it was like, because, and then I got so many DMs and comments of people just spilling out their life story, like heavy shit, like that worse shit that I've even been through. You know what I mean? So I think the biggest thing for me is like trying to, like, music saved me. I want to try to save people, not like a God complex, but just be like, hey man, you're not the only one, or hey woman, dude, whatever, like you're not the only one who's been through that shit. It gets better, and you know what, like we're in this shit together, because life's it's a journey. It's supposed to be ups and downs, you know.
Yeah, it's helping people. Now, where did the name the Eddie and the Getaway, where does the Getaway come from?
Because
everyone's like, Eddie and the Getaway, and it's like you as like a solo act, but you have a band with you. And then I think last time we had you do like a full band thing, it was you, the drummer, and then like, and then the beats, which was really cool. I was like,
Thank you.
Making a lot of sound.
Oh yeah.
His Eddie, his boy on drums, and I guess Jay's work on the production, like cool stuff. Where does the Getaway come from?
Yeah, so the I actually produce for Jay. So I
Oh, you produce for Jay?
For Jay, yeah. So I produce all my own stuff. Or
no shit.
Yeah.
I thought you were saying that Jay produced your stuff. So you your own stuff.
I do,
too.
Yep. So I did the Lacade stuff too. So I like produce Backroad and some of those
songs.
So you're
all hands on the creative process.
Yeah, try to be as much as possible.
Well, I would say you're not trying, you're fucking doing it. Like, if you're producing yourself and like doing all of that, so what does the band structure look right now? Where does the Getaway come from?
Yeah, so band structure now. So we just added a third member. So we got a guitarist for all these runs, which
cool.
I'm really excited. So
yeah.
I won't have to be playing all the time. So, and then my buddy Jack, and then on the drums, and then Mark on guitar. So. Which I'm excited about. And then the Getaway comes from, I always wanted to have it where, even if I'm a solo artist, when it comes to like the creative of the music, maybe like putting it out, promoting it, whatever it is, Like, I've always loved, like, the Tom Petty's and all that stuff. And that's why I was like, Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers, it's Tom Petty. He's doing the creative, but he's got his boys. And they're, like, when we go and we play live and we're arranging set lists and all that stuff, it is a team effort, and I don't ever want it to seem like it's not.
Yeah.
You know? So the getaway comes from, like, wanting it to feel like a band, because at the end of the day it is, especially when you see us live. And then the meaning behind the getaway is, like, having it to where music's not just music, but it's an experience.
Yeah.
So, like, having it where the getaway as a positive thing, a getaway as a, you know, I had a shit fucking week and I need something that's just going to make me feel alive, and having it where it feels like an escape. And that's the way we try to approach the live show. And I'm excited. I want you to come out to a new show, because it's been a, we had the guy that was drumming for me at the time isn't drumming with me anymore, but the new show is, I'm really, really
excited.
Do you
have any dates coming up, like, within the area?
We have, the closest one is Lexington, Kentucky.
Oh, is that at, that's got to be at the, what the fuck's the room there? Manchester City.
Yes. Dude, it is that Manchester
place
City.
That place is fun. I went there with Muscadine in 2019, and that was a blast.
Really?
I like Lexington a lot.
I'm excited.
And I just saw, speaking of, like, the style of, like, that red dirt, modern red dirt. Our guy that runs our rowdy alternative thing calls it shred dirt.
Shred dirt. I love
like
that.
Rock and shit. We were out there for a rodeo thing, Bulls, Bands, and Barrels, and it was Wyatt Flores headlining and Treaty Oak opening.
Oh, dude.
And that crowd ate that up.
I'm
so
sure.
Who's that Manchester show with?
That's with Pecos.
Yeah, so that'll be.
I'm really excited.
That'll be mobbed. And that hat will do well out there, too, because that's that Kentucky blue.
Yeah, there you go.
That'll do well out there. Yeah, we definitely have to get to a show soon.
That'd be awesome. I'll send you some dates.
Yeah, dude, absolutely. And I'm looking at like you're like just the amount of releases. Like you're already, we're just in the beginning of the year, and you've already released 3 songs.
Yeah,
which is great. Like it's like that SoundCloud rapper like era of stuff where it's just like, why not get the music out there?
Yeah.
Like what guys like Russ have done and and people like that.
Lil Peep thing. I mean that was all the music that I grew up on too. I was like the scene kid that like went to what's it called? What's Warped Tour? You know, like I was that dude that was like doing that shit.
All.
And then also listening to like the emo, you know, rap stuff of like the Lil Peeps and like the Trippy Reds, MGK's X, like all those dudes. Like, so I think that's why my music. And then also like the Red Dirt shit and the classic like rock and the modern country storytelling stuff. So it's like a really like a, I'm definitely like a mutt. You know, like I just.
I think that's how everybody in like our age group is kind of like that mid-20s right now.
Yep.
Like the born in like the night, born in like the mid-90s to like up until like even kids being born now, it's gonna be even different for them.
Yeah.
But like by having access to more than just what's on the radio.
So true.
And more the like more than like MTV where you're just getting that specific programming, the fact that we can go on Spotify, that we can go on YouTube, that we can kind of search around and let it kind of make picks based on our things. We're all coming up listening to different shit. Like so many guys that are at the forefront of country now grew up listening to things like Outkast and Nelly and things that were popping in their generation. Whereas like us, where you see this blending right now of like the rock with the country and then like the melodies and the lyricism of like R&B and hip hop and pop.
Yep.
All crash coursing into country music because we're the cool thing right now.
Yeah.
Country music's the thing. There's a reason that Post and Beyonce and you have all these like famous rock and roll guys moving to like Franklin and shit. Like there's a reason that it's all kind of coming together. And
so
I feel
true.
Like our generation just grew up listening to a little bit of everything.
Yeah.
We had access to everything.
Well, yeah, it's so true. I mean, I think that like, I mean, I know if it wasn't for platforms like TikTok and Instagram, YouTube Shorts, all that stuff, like the odds of my style of music being like a label, being like, all right, this dude's talking about drugs and alcohol and depression. We're not signing him. You know what I mean? Because that's really what it would be until it's like, oh, wait, this dude actually had, like there's a giant fan base that can, that's more than even what I've tapped into right now that relates to this shit because it's real. And like people are afraid to write real a lot. And I think that's why, you know, radio's amazing and it has like, what it does what it does, but there's this whole other thing that it can't be played because you can't have your 6-year-old in the backseat hearing this type of stuff. You know, it's too much.
Yeah, but there is like a normalizing in country music right now of talking about that darker side. It's not just dudes hanging out in the bed of a truck, drinking beer, talking to some girls and some Daisy Dukes. Like it's heavier shit now. It's almost like the grunge world is coming into country.
Yeah,
you know?
it feels like it's like the hair metal of the 80s was country radio for the last 15 years.
Yeah.
And then now we're entering the grunge thing.
Yes, you know? I've talked about that before on here. I've talked about that with my buddy Grady Smith quite a bit.
Oh, yeah, like, dude.
Where it's like you have that era. Like, exactly. It's like we're entering our grunge era where you're seeing guys that are doing it in multiple ways. Like, you see, like, guys like yourself doing it where it's like a little bit of a blend of everything. You have guys like Ko, where he'll go very rock on one album, and I think this next album is going to be more towards middle of the road country.
Yep.
You've got guys like Zach Bryan, where it's like very stripped down, but
yeah,
still talking about deep shit.
Yeah.
You're talking about deep shit. There's girls coming up talking about deep shit. Like, it's that era where everybody's looking for that realism again. Mm-hmm. Like, painting the dark side of what it's like to grow up in a small town, what it's like to just grow up in general.
Yeah.
Like, guys like Jelly Roll.
Yeah, dude.
It's like a trailer park preacher. Like,
yep.
Honest to God, like, talking about redemption and things like that and going through it. Like, painting the, it's like a sad country song,
yep,
but a sad country song with the middle finger.
Yes.
And dude, that's where I think you kind of fit
totally
in. And that's why I love your shit, bro.
Thank you.
It's fucking, it gets you through the tough moment, but also, like, if you're fucking working out and you're fucking
just,
it's fast, it can be slow, it can fit in so many different things.
Yeah.
Now, the TikTok grind, bro, how many videos do you have to shoot a week, because, or do you kind of just do them in, like, blocks? Because you, and that's how I recognize Greg, because I see him in the videos.
Yeah.
Like, you do a good job of, like, incorporating the crew, and, like, that grind that you guys have to put on with, like, with the short form videos and stuff.
Yeah.
What is that like? How do you balance that with writing and touring?
Yeah,
and
I mean, we always block out like one day at least. Like, usually it's like Sundays if we, because like with touring and stuff on the road, the nice thing is I'll be able to get a lot of content and everything. But I'd say like, I mean, I'm at least posting once a day, like at minimum. If not, like yesterday I posted 6 times. So it's like,
well, that was release day.
Release day, release day. So you got to do it.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it's definitely like, I kind of try to treat it as like I have different facets of what I do, which is the content side, the artist side, writing for other people, writing for myself, producing for myself, and producing for other people. So I'll always just block out the time of like one day a week is like I need to focus on, you know, the content. We'll spend like 7 hours videoing, and then, you know, a couple hours just getting song ideas for the week of writing, and then writing however it goes, producing the stuff, and then obviously getting ready for tour, rehearsing, and getting all the rig and everything dialed in, the fine tuning of everything, because it's definitely like trying to balance it all. It's definitely tough, but I mean, as long as you work 7 days a week, 15 hours a day, you'll do it. You know what I mean? Which is what we're taking a trip, Greg and I, like to in like 3 months from now. We're like, all right, we have to do it, because we have not, like, I didn't even spend, like, I spent Christmas, it was my last day of not doing music or work or producing or anything. So I haven't had like even weekends, like, but I love it. It's like, it doesn't feel like a job, because I love it. And like, I love connecting with people. And every time it's like a lottery ticket, every time you post, like, not on the money side, but just being like, hey, I might connect to more people, or like whatever it is, or get a song out that relates or whatever. So it's definitely a grind, but I just love it. I don't know how to not work. I get anxious if I watch a TV show for longer than an hour at, you know, 2 a.m, like, I'm like, dude, I gotta do something. I freak out. I don't know. I definitely have issues, so I don't know.
Are you an ADHD kid, you think? Are you on?
I don't know.
Are you on the spectrum? See, I was diagnosed.
I'm definitely on the spectrum somewhere, but I don't know. I'm not ADHD clinically diagnosed.
I feel like all of us are just kind of like,
it's like crackhead energy.
Yeah, and we're just used to going all the time, because these things don't shut off. We don't let these things die.
No.
And they've put service towers everywhere where we can't get away from it. You gotta go out to like Moab or like the fucking desert to try to get away from stuff.
Straight up, dude.
Otherwise, you're just going, like, being in this life that we're all in it isn't a 9-to-5.
No,
it doesn't shut off.
Yeah,
because there could be a connection that's made off of a post or a homie having this idea and being like, we got to write this song right now, or you're at this show or this or that. Like, there isn't an off switch.
No, it's got to be. And I think the biggest thing is, like, you know, I got to thank my dad for that, which is like, if you're gonna do it, like, fail fast. Like, go for it, but if you're going to fail, like, do it quickly as possible, because you don't want to waste time. And that's the biggest thing, is, like, I feel like I see such talent a lot. Like, I know there's thousands of people in Nashville that are way more talented at songwriting and singing and performing and all the stuff than I am, but I think it's the difference of, like, you can't treat it like it's just a normal job.
Yeah.
Like, it has to be like over the top, you know, spending 120 hours a week working on stuff, you know, yeah. or it just isn't going to work because someone else is going to take your spot. It's like competitive, but it's also like, I don't know. I just love it. Yeah. So
what sports did you play growing up? Because I know I know you were doing something.
Yeah.
You talk like an athlete.
Oh, yeah.
Like you have. and I think that translates very well to this grind and this music life that we're all in. What sports were you?
I played. I was really big in lacrosse, football, basketball.
The hair, bro.
Yeah, you got to have the
lax flow.
Yeah, the lax flow, the lettuce out the back.
A lot of people here in Nashville don't know about the lax.
No.
They don't
it's
know
big
about
in where you're from and where I'm
bro,
from.
Bro, in New York, it's fucking
huge.
Huge. New York and Arizona, the cultures and the big cities are kind of similar.
Very.
I feel like that might have to do with the witness protection program from back in the day.
Yeah.
There were a lot of Italian folks, a lot of dark hair, plastic surgery moving out there back in the day.
Yep.
In like the 70s. And now it's like their grandkids are out there with the gel in the hair.
Yes,
and
dude.
That kind of club life. Like it has some of the East Coast things to it. And lacrosse is one of them, bro.
Yeah.
Fastest sport on two legs, fastest sport on land. You're going to get hit.
Yeah.
When you're just starting out, you're going to get smacked with that fucking ball.
Yeah.
There's nothing worse than a dude fucking cradling and fucking ripping a lax ball at you, bro. That shit sucks. I didn't play lacrosse, but I had a lot of buddies that did. And it was just, that's a very competitive culture. That makes a lot of sense that you came up as a lax bro. Did you play that in high school too? Like
I did. So I had like some weird, I had like a bunch of like weird things happen that like led to music. Cause I was always big in music. I was always doing it, but I also was big in sports. And so like when I was in seventh grade, I was playing or eighth grade, I was playing for a team, like one of the like super competitive team leagues or whatever.
Teams,
travel team stuff. And we had a coach who was a great coach, but like almost over the top, like alpha. I played up. So I was in seventh grade. I played a ninth and a tenth grade team. So I was one of the smaller kids, obviously, because I was 2.5 years younger than them. And I'm not that big of a dude.
No.
I'm like 5'10". You know what I mean?
Yeah. We're average.
Yeah,
height.
Average.
We're average.
Yes. Just above, you know, average. You know, just above average. What's that scene where he's talking about? Slightly above average. How big is your? Yeah, that thing. Yeah. You know what I mean? That like at least Will Ferrell talking about that.
Yeah.
But we were doing like suicide runs, and he made us put our put kids on our back, and he was pissed off at me one day and made me carry the goalie who was like 220 pounds. Yeah. At this point, I was probably 120 pounds, like soaking wet, and it fucked up my back. So I was like out for the whole season, like slipped a disc and all this shit. Like he would have gotten canceled if it was that culture today. But I liked it. It was like hell yeah, dude. Like. Let's work, you know? So I ended up being out for the season. That's when I started my band, was because I couldn't play sports for like a year and a half. So I started my band, did that. We started touring a lot in Arizona and California, Las Vegas, Mexico kind of thing. And then when I was a sophomore, right before I got my license, we were in this like competition, Alice Cooper's Proofs in the Pudding thing. It was like 80 or 90 bands all across like Arizona that were competing for it. To open for Alice and all this stuff. And we opened for Alice. So we did that, and then I was trying out for my basketball thing. We had like 3 months of preseason, and we just finished preseason the day after this thing happened was the tryouts. And I ended up arm wrestling my buddy Alex, who I got arrested as a kid with him for like shooting guns in our neighborhood. We lived in the desert, so it's really shooting cactuses and stuff, just doing like super stupid shit. Blowing up things, it was dumb.
I love
it. But anyway, he was the dude. I ended up cracking my head open. He knocked out all his teeth, like all different things. And we were arm wrestling at this party. I just walked in. It was like somebody's sweet 16.
Yeah.
And he was a lot shorter than I am, smaller, but he's a really strong dude.
Yeah.
And so he's like, there's girls and there's some girls I liked. So I was like, you know, trying to be all manly. He's like, dude, let's have an arm wrestling competition. I was like, yeah, dude. He's like, let's go left-handed. I was like, I'm uncoordinated as shit, but let's try this out. So we start going on the table, and my arm freaking snapped.
Oh, no.
I broke my arm, like, right. Like, we thought we broke the table. And I was like, oh, shit. So I couldn't do that, so I couldn't play basketball. And then I was like, how are we going to finish this Proofs in the Pudding competition? So my dad and I figured out how to, like, put my guitar on a stand, and then I could walk up to it and then use my hips to play. And still perform. We ended up winning the thing.
No shit.
So it was really funny.
Wow.
So really random things that I feel like God was like, hey man, this is cool, but like, you're never going to do this. Like, you know what I mean? So like, you need to do this. Like, kept putting me back in these situations where it's like, do the music thing, do it, you know? And then, you know, COVID happening where I could, I was at ASU for a year and then moved right when it hit because my scholarship got stayed for, I was like, academic stuff. Because if you can read and write in Arizona, for the most part, you can, like, figure out a way to get a scholarship. Like, it's not super hard, but in the in-state schools.
Yes,
So I ended up, like, finishing out my degree here in town and then,
Where, at Belmont?
At Arizona State. So it just moved online.
Oh, remote.
Yeah, remote.
Because
I said I was scared of COVID because I didn't want to lose my scholarship and have to go actually online because then it's going to be a lot of money. Yeah. So I ended up just like, finishing it out.
No shit. Yeah. So you have a degree.
Yeah.
What's your degree? What's your
business
degree
entrepreneurship, focus in finance. Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
I mean, because entrepreneurship, that factors in a lot to being an artist.
Yeah. You got to figure out, because like I was saying, I was working at a Mexican restaurant literally last year this time, going out and like, selling merch at random shows, like had to figure out how to make the money.
What Mexican restaurant was it?
It was I used to work at this place called Whiskey Kitchen, and then it closed down, and then I went to San Anejo for like 2 months, and then I said,
"You were at
I'm
bougie
leaving.
Mexican.
Oh yeah, oh
you
yeah,
were
dude.
Not no Cinco de Mayo,
no
Las
brother.
Palmas.
Yeah,
well, shout out to Cinco and Las Palmas.
Yes.
They come in handy.
Yes, they're great.
But yeah, you were at bougie.
Yeah, dude, I didn't fit in really well.
I'm sure you had fun.
I had a blast. I just
sure you meet all kinds of good clientele in there.
Yeah, it was awesome.
That's a bachelorette spot.
Yeah, it was awesome.
You're having
it was fun.
Did you like mention your music to people? Like, did you get into like conversations? Because you're a conversationalist.
I sometimes did. I always felt weird because like I didn't want to like be like, oh, I'm, you know, or whatever. You know, I'm Eddie. You know, I do music. I didn't know how to do it. It like randomly came up sometimes, or like people had seen me on TikTok and been like, oh, you're that, why are you working? I thought you're doing music. Yeah. Why are you working at Mexico? I'm like, dude, it's a grind. You got to figure out how to do it.
Is it weird getting recognized? I'm sure you get recognized in town quite a bit.
Yeah.
I think the TikTok stuff.
The coolest part is like, in town, it's usually like, for the most part, it's like people on vacation or like the, you know, different like industry people or something that I haven't met. Hey, man, I saw you like music or whatever. But I think the coolest part is like, rolling up to the random Buc-ee's or rolling up to the random Love's gas station in, you know, BFE, Georgia. And somebody like being like me getting a scratcher card because it was like a 9-hour drive. And then somebody be like, wait, dude, and show me their phone. And it's like me. And then I was like, hey, what up? And they're like, dude, can we take pictures or whatever it is. And I just love it because it's like, it's definitely like, I don't really have like an ego when it comes to like that stuff. Like, oh, I'm great. Everyone loves me or whatever. It's more just like, dude, that's so cool that like you... Yeah. Enjoy it and like you connect with what I'm saying and like thank you, you know,
it means that it's working.
Yeah,
that's what it is. It's that's like if you're running a business and you look at your numbers for the end of the quarter and they're higher than the quarter before.
Yeah, it's a great feeling.
It's the same thing. It shows that it's working and your shit is reaching people. What's it like in the comments as far as like, because I'm sure not everything is all positive. Like you have positive stuff and you have like
the negative.
How do you navigate haters? Because you're overall a very positive person. I know everybody's got like their demons internally. You get that out through your music and through your songwriting, which is a great way to do it.
Totally.
But what is it like dealing with haters? Because I haven't had to deal with it too much yet.
Yeah.
We're starting to get there a little bit in some of our comments with the podcast. And obviously I'm sure there's people that don't like me saying, what the fuck is up live all the time?
Yeah,
you
dude,
know,
I love it.
Me.
That's my favorite part.
Yeah.
Dude.
It's like,
you're authentic. You are you.
Yeah.
That's the best
so,
part.
Yeah. So what's, how do you balance all that? And like, how do you deal with haters?
Yeah, dude, I think, I always try to make like a funny joke back at them, you know, because like a comment's a comment, you know what I mean? It helps the video get out there.
Yeah, it helps
more
the algorithm.
Yeah,
they don't realize
it at all. If they wanted to actually hate, don't do anything to the video. Just skip it. That's the best way to hate on somebody. But dude, like we had some funny ones where it was like this something about like it was like getting a this dude's loves his perm. And all this stuff, which I don't have a perm. I swear on my life.
That's not a perm. You're just a curly haired son of
bitch.
Yeah,
you can look at my grandma's, bro. The day I hit puberty, I had jet straight hair and then it went curls as fuck, you know? I don't know what happened, but my grandma's have curly hair. So I guess somewhere.
So do mine. Yeah, I've got the curly
hair.
Hell
yeah, dude.
Too.
Let's go.
It's not long.
Curly hair
it's
game.
Not long. I keep it. Everybody's like, dude, you should just grow your hair long and see what happens. I'm like, I don't think it would grow down. I think it'd grow out.
Dude, mine, that's how mine used to be.
I'd be like,
it's got to be weighted.
Yeah, I'd be like looking like Jonah Hill in Superbad. I'd be looking like that era of Jonah Hill, you know, like not the best kind.
That's so funny.
Not the best kind. Not Moneyball Jonah
Hill.
Yeah,
not Moneyball. Yep.
But like curly hair.
That's
Jonah
funny
Hill.
Shit.
Do you like do the video responses to the comments where like you'll put the comment in and then direct a piece of content around
it? Yes, I've been doing that a lot for On My Breath and it worked. that new song, it worked really, really well, because what I realized is, like, I hadn't done it really before, but then I did it, like, every single video for the last 20 days. I just respond to one and then have something about it. And it definitely, like, helps get the content out to, like, those people again and then anyone who's associated to them, I've noticed. But especially, like, when you respond to the hater ones, like, it was like, you should go to jail for how bad this is. Like, shit like that, which I'm like, hell yeah, that's a great, that's very engaging. So I'm like, yeah, dude, I'm responding to that
guy. I've actually been to jail.
Yeah. Almost. I did get Almost. Handcuffed, but they didn't send me to jail, so I was good.
They got out of it.
Yeah, I was in fifth grade, so what are they going to do, you know? These idiots are just dumb and, like, shooting cactuses and stuff.
Yeah, the dumbest thing I did as a fifth grader, I'm trying to think. Oh, my buddy back home, his little brother was like baptism or communion or something, yeah, like, dude, his little kid brother. And my one friend thought it'd be a great idea to go up and get a match from his dad's thing and get it. It was the old axe, the axe days. The axe,
oh,
like the
my
fragrance.
Gosh. Yeah, I used to do that too, dude.
Yeah, dude, and my buddy Colin, and my buddy Colin lit the thing, and then my buddy Matt lit the sprayed the axe, and it just went all the way up his arm. I was like, oh fuck, like it was. Like,
oh my god,
that was the shit. I didn't grow up in like a rural enough area to where my family saw, like, I'm not like anti-gun by any means.
Yeah, yeah.
I just didn't grow up with them.
Yeah, you can't really shoot guns in New York City.
New York City suburb, like, what do we need them for? Yeah, like, I can't hunt anything. All of our taxes go to this giant ass police force. Yeah. Like, what do we need a gun in the house for?
Yeah.
But we got down with some axe flamethrowers.
Hell yeah, dude.
That and, like, Roman candle shit. Dude. Like, firing off Roman candles. You ever play Roman candle baseball?
Where you shoot them and you try to hit it?
Yeah, you try to hit it with those. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. I don't remember. We called it something different. I think we just called it, let's play that stupid game. I think that's what we called it. And we all knew, like, yeah.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
Nikki T's a big Roman candle.
Oh, let's go. We got to run it back, dude.
Yes, we do have to run it back. You got to come and party with our degenerates group.
I would love
We've got the Raised Rowdy Degens. We got to bring your class together
let's
and come
go.
And party with the Degens.
I'm there.
And we'll
bro,
just see how the night goes. So, what's going on for the rest of this year? Obviously, tour stuff.
Yep.
New song is out today. And you've got, is it every four? What can you tell us about the release schedule and just some of the stuff going on we got to look forward to?
Yeah, so it's every 5 weeks I'm dropping a new song. Starting the summer, it'll be every 4 weeks. And then, yeah, just touring a lot. We're getting a bunch of, like, festivals and fairs.
Oh,
so we're doing that
cool,
stuff for the summer.
Dude.
Working on some, you know, more stuff with Pecos and Gio. And obviously the tour in April and May with them, which will be a blast. And then, yeah, dude, doing that. And then, writing a lot for those guys, writing for some other artists that are going to be putting out some songs that are I'm fans of. And then the J Webb stuff too. He's ripping. I mean, he's been growing like crazy as an artist, and just working with him consistently too. So it's been fun, dude.
Have you been to festivals? As like, well, you said you used to go to Warped Tour.
Yeah.
So you're a festival.
Yes.
Festival guy by trade. What's it gonna be like doing? Have you played a festival yet?
I played Summerfest back like the year before COVID hit with my old band, and that was freaking awesome.
But you haven't gotten to get out there,
no,
as Eddie,
dude. No,
I love festival culture. That's
Me
a thing
too.
That we do. We're going, I think, 10. Are we? Are you on any of the Tailgate and Tallboys?
No.
No, you're not on any of those, because I think it's Lacade. I knew somebody from
Lacade's
Electric Cruise was on there.
Yeah.
Because like, we go to a bunch of festivals. That's part of where Raised Rowdy was born.
Yeah.
Nikki T and his friends went on a bachelor party to country concert in Fort Laramie, Ohio. And then they just started going every year. And then they made a group chat called the Rowdy Gentlemen of Leisure.
That's a hard name.
Rowdy Gentlemen of Leisure. And they were just partying, and then they started making koozies, and then started giving them the artists at the shows, because they would do like the radio meet and greets and stuff. And then that's how, like, we were born as like a group of guys that went to festivals.
No,
that's
way.
Where the Raised Rowdy whole thing came from.
That is crazy.
So we're doing like 10 festivals this summer.
Let's
and
go,
festival
dude.
Culture is just fun. Like, you're camping, you're in the trenches with your people.
Yeah,
and
dude.
It's just fun. Rock festivals, country festivals.
Yeah,
all a good
you're
time.
Just trying to find a bottle of water because they're hard to find. You know, hard
yeah,
to come by.
Or,
you know?
Or if you have them, if you're close enough, if you're good. If you're in good enough terms with the festival and you're like partnering with them, they have a whole cooler of water.
There you go, dude.
There, you know?
Yeah, you can always find beer and liquor, but it's hard as hell to
find
the water.
Yeah, some
there.
Festivals that we go to are BYOB.
Oh, that's sick.
So
I've never been
are,
to one of those before.
Oh, yeah, that's the one where.
Oh, wait, I have been. What's the one that's down in Alabama that they do? Like. Well,
Auburn Rodeo?
Yes, Auburn Rodeo.
We're going to be there in a few weeks.
Are you? Hell yeah, dude.
Auburn Rodeo, Georgia Rodeo, Rock the South, Rock the Country.
Fuck yeah, dude.
All the tailgating tall boys.
That'd be great. Hopefully next year you'll see us.
Dude, that's what I'm saying. I'm ready to, like, you're one of the guys that I'm like, we're going to be seeing him. And we help out with the side stages at a lot of them.
Oh,
like,
hell yeah.
They're branded as Ray's Rowdy, or we're on stage, like, emceeing the festival.
Oh, let's go.
So I can't wait for the day, because we've introduced you at Live Oak a bunch and, like, here in town. I can't wait for the day that we're on a festival stage and we're like, we got our boy, Eddie,
dude,
in the getaway. like I can't wait for that day, because I know it's fucking coming, dude. But man,
great.
I appreciate you coming on and kicking it with me.
Thank you, man. You're the man, bro.
We're gonna figure out too. I'm sorry there was a delay. Shout out to the truck driver. I was at pulling past the tractor supply, getting to our new location here, and the back of the door on the back of the truck swung out as she was trying to turn,
dude,
and fucking nicked the side of my truck. So we're getting that figured out.
Yes, we are.
It's been a day, dude. But where can people go to find you on everything?
Eddie and the Getaway on all social media except for TikTok. It's Eddie and the Getaway Music, because my last one got like banned or something like that.
What'd you get banned for?
I was longboarding behind my van.
Of course you were. That doesn't surprise me.
Yeah, and it was like public endangerment, and I got banned. But I got a new one now, so you Eddie and the Getaway Music on that, and then Eddie and the Getaway and everything else.
Hell yeah. On my breath, it's out now.
Boom.
And super stoked for new music every few weeks.
Yeah.
I'm fucking super excited.
You're the man.
Well, bro,
Thank you, brother.
Appreciate you. Shout out to Greg helping, being there, facilitating, making sure we don't say anything cancelable.
Yes.
You know,
did we check out? We good?
I think we're good. There we
go.
We got
the thumbs up.
We got the thumbs up from management. The suits are happy. Let's
there you go.
Hell yeah. Y'all be sure to check out our boy Eddie in the Getaway, Eddie Everly. New music, On My Breath, is out now. There's going to be some new music coming. And if you're a fan of guys like Pecos and the Rooftops and Giovanni and the Hired Guns, and you're planning to get out to one of those shows, you're going to be seeing this guy and his band out there. And
let's go.
Be on the lookout. Give him a follow on everything if you're not following him already. And we love what he does, so y'all should too. Thank you guys, as always, for watching Outside the Round, listening to Outside the Round. Y'all can find out more about us by going to RaisedRowdy.com. You can find Outside the Round and Raised Rowdy on all the social platforms. Make sure you subscribe, rate, follow, tell your mama and them, and we will see you next time. For my boy Eddie, I'm Matt Barrill. This has been Outside the Round.
Boom. Thank y'all.
I ain't never been the kind for staying one place for too long. I ain't never been the best at saying I love you to a girl I love. Only got a couple tricks up my sleeve, they usually just make them leave. So if you know me, if you really know me, you know I'm just a two.